Remembering people's names, if you're anything like me, you are terrible at it. You forget someone's name the second they tell you. Well, what if you couldn't remember somebody's face? It's a condition called prosopagnosia, or face blindness. It affects 1 in 50 people, and that includes Brad Pitt and Dr. Carl. Turns out we have the handsome one with us today. Of course, that would be Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, prosopagnosia, or face blindness, can you explain to us how it works?
Part of your brain, the facial fusiform area, which is optimized for dealing with faces, doesn't process them properly. Now, just think about this from an image processing point of view. I show you a photo and you say, "Ah, that is my mother, father, brother, sister, whatever." You do not go through a whole process of starting at the top left-hand corner and going light, 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 dark, 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 and then you gradually look at the 3 million pixels and then eventually say, "Oh, okay, well, that's probably my relative." But instead, you just look at it and instantly you recognize that. Why? Well, it goes back to human survival. We humans, as an animal, are pretty weak. We can't run very fast. Our sense of smell isn't that good. Our teeth and claws are pretty pathetic. But we have a brain, and we can form ourselves into groups, and we can communicate. And part of forming ourselves into groups is knowing who's in your group and who's not. And so we have this whole area in our brain, the facial fusiform area, which is optimized specifically for being able to just look at a face and going, "Ah, I know who that is." And in various cases, it doesn't develop properly. And in my case, it didn't.
So when you come into work every day, when you head into, say, the Triple J offices, how do you process people's faces that you see and work with every day?
I cheat.
How?
I've got a little map of where people sit, and I've got their names on it, and I look at it. But it really is weird for me when a woman, for example, will dye her hair another colour. Oh, my God. Or if a guy with a beard sits in the seat where another guy with a beard used to be. Or if a guy without a beard sits in a seat where a guy with without a beard used to sit. So I get really easily filled. For me, looking at faces is like looking at bricks in a wall. They're all the same.
Yeah. And so when did you realise, Dr. Carl, that you had face blindness?
When I was 32, in first year university, studying medicine. So I'd already had degrees in engineering and physics and mathematics and various years of non-degree study. And I was in first year medicine, and these two students, fellow students whom I recognised, came up to me and said, "Hi, Carl." I said, "Hi," and not mentioning their name because I couldn't recognise them. And they said, "What's my name?" And I said, "Well, you're Stuart." And then the other guy said, "Well, what's my name?" And I said, "Well, you're Stuart too." And they said, "Don't you think it's weird that we both have the same name? Can you pick the difference between us?" And I looked at them. I was, you know, half a metre from them. And they were obviously white, Anglo-Caucasians with red hair. And as I looked at them, I suddenly realised that one of them had glasses and one of them didn't. I said, "Oh, you've got glasses." He said, "Yeah, I'm Stuart. He's John." And at that moment, I really knew for the first time that I had prosopagnosia.
So that's what you thought it was straight away? Because I think my instincts would be, do I have dementia or what's going on? Like, it wouldn't be a condition that I would think it was immediately.
I didn't know the name of it then.
Right, but you'd heard of the condition.
No, I hadn't heard of it, but I knew that suddenly it all made sense that I couldn't pick the difference between people's faces.
That's like, fascinating.
Well, for example, when I'm watching movies at home, my daughter only allows me 3 questions per movie. Who's that? I'm not allowed to do that more than 3 times. I get into trouble otherwise.
Is it genetic?
There are many causes. It runs in families. It could also be associated with brain damage, and there's so many different causes of it, we don't fully understand them. I have a pet theory which has zero proof. You see, in my case, I grew up as a refugee in a refugee camp. And then went to a Catholic school where I was a Catholic, but I was the wrong sort of Catholic. I wasn't Anglo. I was called a WOG, because anybody from Greece or Italy or Europe or anyone was called a WOG. And so I didn't have any friends at school except other non-Anglos, and so there was no point in activating the part of my brain that remembered faces because I didn't have any. So, well, that's my theory, but I have zero proof. Let me point out that I have zero proof for that theory.
Because if it does affect children, how would it then affect their learning or their socialisation?
For learning, it's great. You dive into the books because there's no people there. Socialisation, forget it. I became social when I became a taxi driver. And that was really good because I was doing the night shift because that's where the money was. And people would get into my taxi and I could talk to them and not have to make face contact. And I knew I wouldn't see them again. And gradually I became braver. And so they were in the back seat. I was in the front seat and I'd listen to them and talk to them. And, and sometimes I'd say things like, if there was a couple there, I'd say, you know, you guys really don't sound like you're compatible with each other. Have you ever thought of why you're with each other? And on more than one occasion, one of the, or the other would say, well, actually, I agree. I don't want to be with you anymore.
Oh, you were breaking up couples as a cab driver.
Oh, well, I was bringing people closer to reality because you can survive better with reality long term than you can with lies and deception.
Oh, this is a social service. This is a whole other conversation, Dr. Carl. Holy,
I didn't charge extra for it.
Oh, well, there, people probably jumped out midway through your through your trip. Now, is there a cure, so to speak, or is it more about teaching yourself techniques so that you can just live with facial blindness comfortably?
No cure yet. No full recognition yet. Partial recognition. There's a bunch of tests for it, but they're not particularly good. I'm hoping that somebody's going to put an app out for a smartphone that'll help people go for various cues, like how they walk. For me, there are people I can pick at long range, you know, 100 metres away just by their gait. You know, he's got a roly-poly. She's got a sort of a brusque walk. She strides rapidly. He meanders, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then as you get closer, you head in for something specific like, man, that is a big jaw with a dimple in it. Have you got lots of teeth? Gee, your eyes are far apart. But it doesn't seem to fit in with the whole face. I can't, in some cases, do the thing of looking at a face and going, oh, that is an insert name of person. And one easy cure is if I'm traveling with somebody and walking down a corridor, I say, okay, here's how it goes. I'll introduce you to this person, say, ah, have you met, insert name of person I'm traveling with, John? And John will say, hi, I'm John. What's your name? And so I coach them on how to behave so that way I can extract the name out of the person I'm meeting. And I really don't know if in public it's somebody I know really well or it's somebody just asking me for directions to the nearest post office.
And do you generally tell people, I don't recognise you, even if it's someone that you've known for decades?
People take that as an insult.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And you don't, because we have this sort of tangled web of society, and you don't want to go around making enemies. And quite rightly, people do feel insulted if you've had a 15-minute conversation with them, and then an hour later, you don't recognise them anymore.
And but do friends and family know that you have facial blindness? So do they give you cues, or if, you know, say a quarter of the way, 5 minutes into the conversation, they go, okay, you know, Carl, you know, you're speaking with Jenny now, don't you? Or do people kind of go with it with you a little bit?
My daughter's very hard on me. Three questions. That's it. Aww. I'm getting confused in Outlander now.
Dr. Carl, thank you so much for your time on Afternoons. A little later in today's program, we're going to be speaking with a woman that has started an online boutique for incredibly tall women. So women that struggle to buy clothes simply because they're so tall. You're a tall man. Have you struggled over the years to be able to find clothes that fit you?
Yes. And luckily, my wife goes along with it and makes all my shirts and has been doing it for a couple of decades. And so that way I get to have clothing that's bright in colour. Why should women have all the fun? And made of cotton, and wait for it, with two pockets, not just one, and long sleeves. Oh, heaven on a stick.
That's a good woman. Dr. Carl, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Rochelle.